have you tell me a little more about Judy.
Judy is very happily married, and this is a beautiful family situation. They really enjoy doing things together. Robert is a philosopher. He's also a PhD. Judy has a master's and was on her way to a second master's when she had her second child and decided it wasn't very important. She now teaches retarded children. And they have their Friday night services, and as I told you before, they're moving to Silver Spring so that they can be near a good school, what they feel is very important. When Robert taught at St. John's College, they met there. This is, you know, the second oldest college in the United States, and it's very liberal arts, and it's patterned after Oxford in England. When Robert was teaching there, he used to come home for lunch by choice because he wanted to be with Judy and the boys. They do things together. They take the trouble to talk to their children, to find out what really makes them tick, and it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Tell me all the places that you lived since you're married.
You know, I haven't lived in many houses. I just moved into this apartment, this landmark apartment, in July. And I lived in one house in Beaver, and I was 11 years old when I moved to Pittsburgh. Then we lived in that 14-room house on Shady Avenue until I was married. I was 28 when I was married. Then we lived in a little house, a row house. They call them townhouses now. They were row houses then on Woodmont Street near Negley. And we painted it and fixed it up ourselves and lived there until we outgrew it. Then we lived on Fair Oak Street near between Wilkins and Inverness. And that was 37 years.
How many years did you?
This was a big wrench when I moved from my house into this apartment.
How many years did you live on Woodmont Street?
That was about 2 or 3 years.
What kind of a social life did you have when you were married? What did you do?
Oh, we started out playing bridge. Then somehow or other we got bored with that. We did a lot of traveling. We didn't especially enjoy huge parties. We did a lot of entertaining, but it was always a project. When we had a party, it had a theme, and we went to great lengths to do the house over. One New Year's Eve, we brought in props from the country. We had just bought a house that looked like Tobacco Road, and we brought the kerosene lamps in, and we had a mirror over our dining room table, and whenever we had a party, I did a mural on paper for that. This was a view out of the window of the bleak Winter Mountain view from our house in the country, and it was like a Tobacco Road party.
Where was your house in the country?
On Laurel Ridge, 55 miles east of Pittsburgh.
How many years did you have that?
15 years. Another year we had a party that was with a group. We had close friends, but not a big circle of friends. And we had a cooperative party that was, we were setting ourselves up as a training for a group of people from Pittsburgh who were going to Europe together. And we set ourselves up as experienced travelers, and we were showing them how to do it. And what we did was we had a dinner party, which was supposed to be a dinner at the Tour d'Argent. And the view out the window on the mirror there was the Ile de la Cité. And another time it was... Oh, we did all kinds of things.
You said that you traveled a lot. Were they with your children?
We took the children to Mexico one year, and they just hated being wrenched away from Pittsburgh, and they didn't want to go in the first place. We realized later that a lot of it sank in, but they were kind of bitchy. They were at that age where they didn't want to do things for their parents, and we weren't smart enough to realize it. So it seemed at the time that it wasn't a great success.
Did you have many family vacations?
No, the children went to camp. And looking back on it, I'm sort of sorry because I see what Judy and Robert are doing with their children. They're doing it together. And
remember what camp they went to?
Jim was always the best everywhere. He was the best camper at it was in the Poconos. They both went to camp in the Poconos. Judy went to Oasis. What's the name of that camp that all the boys went to?
I know you had many hobbies. Do you want to tell us about them?
Well, music first, and art, and they were more than hobbies, though. Music was a hobby, but art became my way of life, and I was not athletic. I remember Dick asking me to go skating in Highland Park, and he wrecked the car on the way, and I was so glad because I didn't have to go skating. I was not athletic.
Do you see much difference in neighborhoods?
You know, it's funny, I'm back in my old bailiwick.
I was asking you about the neighborhoods.
I'm back in my old bailiwick. Shady Avenue was near Fifth, and Alder Court Apartments is just below Fifth, four short blocks. And I'm just off of Shady. I don't know.
But you see much change.
I must have been attracted to this neighborhood.
Do you see much change in in neighborhoods today?
Well, the house on Shady Avenue has been improved. It used to be a row of houses with porches, and it's one of those neighborhoods that has improved. We took the porch off, and then everybody else took the porch off, and it's very nice now. This neighborhood, I'm on the fringe of Shady Side here, and you know what's happened in Shady Side. It's restored and has become the in place to live.
Do you want to tell me a little more about your travels?
Dick and I started traveling as soon as we were married, and I guess we never had a lot of money, but we always managed to travel. It was important to us. We enjoyed it. We started by going to Mexico several times, and then we went to Europe. We used to spend 1 month at a time in a country. First Italy, next Spain, the romantic tour of Germany, France. We did it in depth, in other words. The last 10 years of our life together, we went around the world twice. We liked India. We were tantalized by India. We didn't really like it. We went there twice. We went to Japan twice. Second time we just touched Japan. We received foreign visitors in our home a lot. In fact, I have one coming this evening to stay overnight. He already calls me Mom. He's a friend of Manjula and Sham, two Indians, who lived with us, and they have become like our son and daughter. And this young man is bringing his family to Pittsburgh, and he got in touch with me about a month ago, and I helped him find a house, and he's already calling me Mom. Mm-hmm.
How did you meet the APs?
We started with a foreign students through Pittsburgh Council for International Visitors, but we we were talking about travel, and when we did travel, we visited Manjula's parents in India and Shyam's parents in India. I was chairman of the Experiment in International Living in Pittsburgh. Three different years we had a French experimenter. I felt that it would be good for Jim because he couldn't see anything good in Pittsburgh, and he didn't have many friends here. And I thought if he is going to really appreciate, to show a French student who is almost just a little older than he is, Pittsburgh, he has to know Pittsburgh. And he would meet other Pittsburghers who were interested in this kind of thing. So it was a real turning point in his life. And then we had three different French boys for him. And at that point, Judy was away at boarding school and camp. And he then went to France on the experiment. And I think that it was a real turning point in his life. In Japan, the second time we went, we stopped to visit a family who he was the parent of a Japanese scientist who lived for us. And when he brought his wife and baby over, I sort of found a place for them to live, and I was sort of a grandmother to the baby. And, it's a big family of all nationalities.
What organizations have you been interested in?
I was president of the Society of Sculptors, and I was on the board of the Arts and Crafts Center. I've gone back on the board of the center. I'm a vice president there. I was exhibition chairman and during the formative years of the gallery there. Society of Sculptors, the Arts and Crafts Center, the Associated Artists. I was an officer and did public relations for them. I was very active in the Three Rivers Arts Festival. I initiated children. I started to tell you when the phone rang that I started the children's section of the Arts Festival. They thought they might like to have a children's exhibition, and at that time I was art consultant for the daycare and Head Start programs for the public schools here. And I said, oh, let me do it. I'd love to do something for children. And then I started thinking about it, and I thought, we don't want just an exhibition for children. We need a place where children can come and be a part of the festival. So I started a place where they could come and splash with paints and play with clay, and they could interpret music. And I got some of my colleagues, Judy Rubin, who did preventive work at the Child Guidance Center, was co-chairman with me, and we worked up a marvelous program. It was very creative. And that was the beginning of that section, and we did it for 2 years, and then I turned it over to somebody.
When was it? Do you remember the year?
Oh, about 5 years ago.
I'd like to know a little bit more about Experiment in International Living and your involvement in it.
Yes, that's a very marvelous program. It was started, must be 50 years ago. By a man who felt that the way to create understanding between different peoples, different countries, different civilizations was to live together and to try to in a home. So he had a German connection, and he brought a group of Germans to this country. It was just before the Second World War. That would be about, was it 40 years? It was less than 50 years. And he had the German young people come to this country and live in a home, and it did indeed create close relationships. Then he a group of others went to Germany and lived in homes. And that's how the experiment in international living started. So it grew and grew, and he gave them property in Putney, Vermont, where they had a center, and it's become a tremendous thing. It's not just for students. It's not just a summer program. Adults go to foreign countries on it and are received here. Now in Pittsburgh, I remember meeting with the executive director of Pittsburgh Council for International Visitors and telling her to go to the Junior League. I had the Junior League working for me at Pittsburgh Clinic for Art, and they are very good workers. So she made contact with them on my suggestion, and they started the Pittsburgh liaison with the experiment, and they took over the experiment so that I no longer was chairman.
Were you the original chairman of the experiment in international living in Pittsburgh?
No, Marty Hamburger actually got us interested in it. I don't know whether he was the chairman. It had been operating here, and Marty asked us if we would take a French boy, and we did, and then the next year, I guess, I was chairman.
Were you ever involved in politics?
Not until just recently, when Katie Flaherty, the county commissioner's wife, came to me and said, I would like to start a gallery, an art gallery at the courthouse. And I said, you don't want just another gallery. You want something that can help out, a place where government and governed can meet. And so we developed the idea of the Courthouse Gallery Forum. And the forum idea was that it would be almost like a Roman forum where people met and talked about things. And in the forum, you know, the Roman forum, physical features of a forum, they used to have performances and music, and this is the way I see the Courthouse Gallery Forum. It's a gallery and a meeting place, and we have symposia related to the gallery. We had a Bridges exhibition, and we had a discussion on the problem of bridge maintenance. PennDOT and the County Works Department had a discussion. We had a slide talk. We had a poetry reading. A man from Pitt came and read Hart Crane's poem about the Brooklyn Bridge. What else? We had a slide talk. We had a little art exhibition in with the exhibition that showed bridges of North America and bridges of Pittsburgh, and a big map that showed what are the problems of maintenance, what it costs to maintain these bridges and rebuild them.
Do you do this as a volunteer or?
Yes, I'm a volunteer director.
Well, everything that's held there has something to do with city life?
The first show was 15 ethnic groups and their holiday observations. Christmas, Christian Christmas, Byzantine Christmas, Jewish Hanukkah, Chinese New Year's, and while these exhibitions were up, the Jewish section, the Israeli section, had menorahs, beautiful menorahs, and the little tops that the children spin. And we had Israeli dancers came, and we had Israeli music, and they served little potato pancakes.
Is this all in the...
In the gallery.
And the gallery is in the...
On a Monday at noon.
And the gallery is in the court?
Well, that's a beautiful building.
It's
Richardson's masterpiece. Henry Hobson Richardson built it in 1886. It was completed.
This is what? The courthouse.
The county courthouse. And
what floor do they have?
It's on the first floor. And Pittsburghers, many of them don't appreciate that building, but Richardson considered it his masterpiece. And he was he had a great influence on probably Frank Lloyd Wright and all the Sullivan and all the architects who followed. So that this masterpiece, we have just found the original drawings, 150 of them, and the original renderings of the competing architects who also were after the job of designing the courthouse. So we are preparing now, the American Institute of Architects is sponsoring an exhibition of the drawings of Richardson and his peers in the courthouse.
Do you remember anything about the Depression?
As I said before, it didn't mean a lot to me. We had enough to eat. It meant that I had to teach to go to New York to study. But I think my family would have wanted me to earn my way anyway. That was part of my training. It meant that Dick and I couldn't be married, but that turned out to be a good thing.
Remember the war?
The First World War, I remember, I was just a little tot in Beaver. I remember very vividly standing under a street light just after dark with some of my little friends, and we were talking about what war is, and we were told that we had to clean our plates off because the Armenians were starving and we mustn't waste food, and we knew that, my Italian cousins were stranded in this country because my uncle, Italian uncle on mother's side, came here to buy lumber to make airplanes for the Italian government. And they were stranded because in those days you couldn't fly and there was submarine warfare. So they were here a couple of years, and so it meant something that, I heard from them what it meant. The Second War, we were down in Chesapeake Bay, Dick and I, sailing with my uncle. And we had a radio, and we heard Churchill talk about the war, and we realized that we were becoming involved. Well, that was later. I remember distinctly on a radio on a Sunday, Pearl Harbor. We couldn't believe our ears. We had no idea what this meant. Pearl Harbor had been bombed, and it meant war. And we sort of, something gripped us in our stomachs. We were sort of paralyzed for a minute. That was a vivid memory. And then later it was that we heard Churchill and realized that we were becoming involved in the European War. No, first it was the European War, then it was Pearl Harbor.
Do you remember anything else about the war besides just the beginning of it?
I was a canteen worker during the war. I trained at Alder Dice High School to cook big vats of food. I never served it, but I learned how to do it. Dick was just over age for the Army, and he was an air warden. He took a course, and he also took a course in navigation.
What did they do?
He never used it, but he did go out as an air warden.
Did they use the canteen after you learned to make it?
We were supposed to go to the station, I guess, and serve soldiers. I never did. I knew how to do it. And mostly it was training on how to conserve food and get a lot of good vitamins into our stomachs without using too much meat that was rationed. I remember the rationing.
Do you remember much about the Prohibition time?
Yeah, because we used to go to speakeasies.
What is a speakeasy?
Well, it was a place where you could get a drink behind a lot. It was a private club, and you'd go and you'd knock on the door, or you'd have a key to it, and you'd go in and you'd drink this bathtub gin, and you couldn't buy a drink in a public place because it was prohibited. It was a bad, bad thing, Prohibition, because everybody went to speakeasies and crime developed because there were bootleggers.
Do you want to tell me something about your professional life? Not volunteer work, but...
Well, it started with volunteer work. I know some professional PR people who kind of resent me because I've done big jobs, like I publicized the Pittsburgh International Exhibition at Carnegie Institute. I was not paid as much as a professional would have cost. And I never worked for a newspaper, which is the way professionals become professionals, I guess. But I did a good job, and I publicized it on an international scale. I sent releases all around the world. I started by doing public relations as a volunteer for the Associated Artists. And then everything I did it for the Society of Sculptors, and that's how I got to be their president. I then became, then WQED was next, and a friend of mine whose husband was editor of the Sun Telly, a defunct newspaper, a Hearst paper, called me one day and said, would you come down? I'm about to open an educational television station, and I need you to help me on public relations. So I went and did it as a volunteer, and I organized the public relations department with her, and did that on a voluntary basis, and then they started to pay me. And I left there to start Pittsburgh Plan for Art. Pittsburgh Plan for Art was by nature a public relations job. I was a paid executive there from the beginning, and the director was the Dean of the College of Fine Arts. It was started with a Mellon grant. It was actually an educational program financed by a Mellon grant and a Rockefeller grant, because the idea behind it was that if people lived with a work of art, they would learn to understand it and to appreciate it. So we lent paintings, and the Mellon and Rockefeller monies paid the artists a rental fee, and people could borrow paintings free of charge. They lived with these paintings, and after a while I realized that this living with a painting, they learned to understand that painting, but not all paintings. So then we started a course, How to Look at Modern Art. And we had a professor from Carnegie Tech came, and we used a textbook by Catherine Koo. And it was a 10 or 12 weeks course. And when they finished that, they wanted more. So the teacher developed a graduate course, and then they wanted more, so we took them to New York on a tour and went into studios and galleries. The teacher went along with us, and we lived on it for a few days. And then they wanted more, so we went into collectors' homes and discussed the art on the walls there. Now Pittsburgh Plan for Art, I had hepatitis 5 years after I started it, and had to stop, so that was that. And Becky Berman took my job. She had been substituting while I was in Spain, and she's done a fine job, and art is beginning to pay at Pittsburgh Plan for Art. It is no longer educational, but the need has passed for that kind of thing.
What year was that story?
1955. And I stayed with it until 1960. And I gave it what it needed and what I could give it, and then I felt I was a little stale anyway. And I was an innovator, you know. I liked to start projects. It was always a challenge to get something started, and then I would turn it over to somebody who could carry on.
Did you have any training for doing public relations, or did this just come in?
No, as I said, some of the pros really resented me going to Carnegie Museum and doing the job that they wanted to do, because I was underpaid and did it because I enjoyed it. And I was taking a job away from a pro who felt that I wasn't capable of doing it, I guess. But I, apparently I did all right.
Now, after the Pittsburgh Plan for Art, what else did you do professionally?
Then we were into the 60s, you know, and I was sick. Well, then that was when I did the public relations for the International Art Exhibit. Gordon Washburn called one day and said, I know you've been very sick for a year, but I'd like to talk to you about something. Will you come down? And I said, well, I guess I could come down, but not for long because I'm so weak in the knees. And he said, we want you to do the public relations on this big exhibition. And I said, oh, I can't possibly. And he said, I want to show you something. And he took me into the gallery, and there were some paintings that had just arrived from Europe for the show. And he knew, he was a smart man, he knew I was, you know, he said, just come and sit at the desk and handle it. And I did, and I worked from a wheelchair when critics came from out of town, and I had to show them around, you know. I did it.